It is the People's Show, and we welcome in our next guest, Emily Kaplan, ESPN hockey reporter. Thanks for this, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing well. Congrats on the new show, guys.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Appreciate you joining us here on our first ever maiden voyage here on Sports at 650. Yeah, it's the first show.
That's a lot of pressure.
No pressure whatsoever. It's been a fun first hour, and we're kind of looking at the trade market right now. And, you know, we were just talking about Taylor Hall, and the situation in Buffalo is a disaster, and they're just getting going against the Philadelphia Flyers here tonight. But Taylor Hall, you know, we're hearing about first round picks. You know, that's what Buffalo would like. What's his reputation, and how much has it changed after, you know, it didn't go well in Arizona last year, and it's been, you know, he hasn't had the impact he would have liked to have in Buffalo this year?
You know, I don't think anyone in the league is looking at a player on Buffalo this season and saying, oh, I don't want that guy. He's the problem guy, because they realize that it's a big cultural problem there. And, you know, you see that with Eric Staal. He was still very coveted by a team because of his body of work. And when it comes to Taylor Hall, I think his reputation in the league is that of he's a competitive guy. He still is a very good scorer, but maybe you don't look at him as a top-line winger anymore. Maybe a contending team is like, you know what? If we plug him in on a second line, he's going to fit in really well with that role. And I think Taylor's just been a victim of really bad circumstance the last couple stops. I mean, he's never really been on a team with a winning culture. He basically had to drag New Jersey to the playoffs that year he won MVP. So I think he's still a desirable player, because a lot of teams know if he gets to them, again, in a different type of role, he's going to be supremely motivated, because it's a contract year for him and he wants to get paid next year.
The only question really comes down to the valuation, right, Emily? I know that the ask is super high, but can we envision him getting more than a second-round pick and a prospect, maybe? I just can't, you know. Maybe if the rest of the league is so down on this year's draft that we're overvaluing first-round picks, but no team is going to be foolish enough to give a first-round pick for him, though, right?
No, I think the only way he gets a first round pick here, if it's some crazy deal where Buffalo retains so much of his salary and it needs to get done that way, maybe it's a super late first round pick if we're talking about a team that expects to win the Stanley Cup like Vegas or Colorado. But I think a first round pick at this point is probably not realistic. It's probably, like you said, a second round prospect, something in a little lower range than that.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Emily Kaplan. Emily, a couple of weeks ago, we were all kind of selling Nashville Predators stock, waiting for them to make trades. Now, all of a sudden, they're in a playoff spot. If you're David Poile, what do you believe in more, the beginning of the year and potentially selling off some older pieces? Or do you say, hey, no, we're still in this, and you don't sell?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to an assistant general manager over the weekend, and I was like, what team holds the key to the trade deadline? And he's like, Nashville. And I really don't know what they're going to do, because as you said, they've been playing much better lately. Their goaltending has looked absolutely fantastic ever since Juuse Saros came back. But the issue is, we've seen this before. Like, they can go and be a playoff team, and then it's one and done. And if you don't move any pieces, you start next year basically as you began this one, which isn't very inspiring. So I think maybe the cuts won't be as deep as we potentially feared at some point. Like, Philip Forsberg is going to take a massive package for someone to pull away their most talented offensive player. But I do think that Matthias Ekholm still would be in play, because he is the best defenseman available. There will be teams that are willing to give up a lot. And Mikael Granlund and Erik Haula, both of those guys are on expiring contracts. Like, again, as much as it would be nice to go on a long playoff run, realistically, they're looking at the fourth spot in the Central right now, which means a date likely with the Tampa Bay Lightning or Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. Do you have that winning that series? I definitely don't.
Well, it's just one of those things where we don't see a lot of GMs do it, Emily. I guess, you know, in St. Louis, they did it a couple of years ago with Kevin Shattenkirk and Paul Stastny, where they were kind of in a playoff spot. They still ended up making it in the Shattenkirk year when they traded him. But it just doesn't happen very often where a GM of a team kind of in and around the playoffs decides, you know what, we're going to sell. This isn't our year regardless. It takes a lot for a GM to go down that road, and I guess it takes a lot for a GM to go to his owner and be like, "Yeah, this ain't our year. We're not necessarily focused on making the playoffs right now."
Yeah, totally. And that's why I do think it's not going to be a really, really significant sell for the Nashville Predators. But if you look at that team, I mean, David Poile has been promising this youth movement for the last couple months, and it never arrived. And at some point, you just got to press reboot because you've got a product that's kind of stale.
Right, and that's the big thing. You look at a team like the Nashville Predators, and it's like, okay, well, you can kind of talk yourself into, we won a few games, we won five in a row, we're kind of in this race or not. But if you have an opportunity, would it not be best to take that long-term vision? And that's kind of what's going on in Vancouver as well. One of the things a lot of people say is that, well, if it's clear you're looking at this as being a couple years away from being good and you need to do the retool, why would you hesitate to make those moves if a right deal comes along this trade deadline, even if you have got yourself back into the playoff combo?
Totally. And, you know, one of the reasons this season is so unique is because of the fact that there are no fans. And all of this boils down to the financials, right? That's what owners care about. They care about winning, of course, but they also want to make their money back. And maybe this year is a year where it's a little easier to sell that, because in the playoffs, you don't know if you're going to be, you know, selling out. Probably not. Even if you do have fans there, it's going to be at reduced capacity. So you don't get that extra boost that you typically would from making the playoffs.
Well, looking out east, Philadelphia, they're playing Buffalo right now, actually, but they've lost the last four out of their last five. They're out of a playoff spot. They've disappointed. If you're Chuck Fletcher, or, you know, looking at it from his perspective, what's on the table right now? Are you looking at AV? Are you looking at a big trade? What do you think Chuck Fletcher does here?
I think Chuck Fletcher is patient. He's a patient man. We've seen that in his track record and his previous stops, including Minnesota. You know, I think everyone before the season was really high on this team, and I'm still high on the players here. Just something didn't work this year. It's kind of uncomfortable to talk about, but this team hasn't looked the same since COVID hit them right before that outdoor game in Lake Tahoe. There's a lot of young players. You know, there's some belief that maybe younger players are adversely affected by this unusual season and the mental health impact of it. And maybe that's why they're struggling. Of course, you see Carter Hart just not being himself. So I think that Chuck Fletcher, you know, if he wants to help his team, it's got to be defensively. They've been really leaky back there. They never really recovered from the surprise retirement of Matt Niskanen. But if he does make a move, it'll be a, quote, hockey move. So it will not be for a rental. It will be for a guy to term. Because really, I think right now it's, let's stop the bleeding on this year. Understand maybe this year is a wash, but make sure we are as well positioned as we can next year to make a run.
Has Philly been the most disappointing team this year for you?
That's a great question, and probably. You know, there's been a lot of pleasant surprises, and I've been happy about those. But Philly just, you know, from the last month or so, just it's been hard to watch. And it's really what's disappointing about them is even when they do put in an okay performance, it's usually the letdown the next night. So I know a lot of folks in Philly are looking at this game against the Sabres being like, uh-oh, is this a trap?
Emily Kaplan from ESPN is our guest here on Sportsnet 650. And Emily, like, one of the things that I find so fascinating this year about the Philadelphia Flyers and some of these coaching decisions, the Flyers are a team that does not take losing well. And we know how good a coach Alain Vigneault is, and he's only been there for a couple of years. But we've seen coaches get fired pretty easily nowadays. We saw it with Claude Julien as well. Do you think that that Alain Vigneault job really could be on the line at the end of the season, considering how tough that organization can be?
I'm not sure. They've made a really big financial commitment to them, and it's a really great ownership group, you know, and they want to do right by the team. But AV's record, I think, stands for itself. He's very, very well regarded in the league. I would be surprised, unless it totally spirals out of control and we get to the point where we're talking about the Sabres, who, by the way, really are the most disappointing team in the league this year. I think he's behind the bench next season as well.
You're listening to The People Show. We were joined by Emily Kaplan. And Emily, I wanted to bring this up as well before we let you go here. The NWHL, the Isabel Cup, goes to the Boston Pride. And we've talked about this often, and you've joined us on this station before, is, you know, what's next for the women's game now? That one league movement, is it one step closer?
No.
No.
Danny Ryland left the NWHL, and the NWHL came to a lot of the women in the PWHPA and being like, look, like, or don't you guys want to, you know, we're changing things. And it's like, no, Danny Ryland wasn't the problem. They don't believe in the business model. And I don't think any of those women on the U.S. national team or Canadian national team have any appetite in playing in the NWHL, frankly. So they're waiting for somebody to step up and create a league. And it looks like next season, I would guess, we're probably going to have another type of Dream Gap Tour and wait for someone to step up.
You can follow her on Twitter at Emily M. Kaplan. Check out her great work at ESPN, the latest being on Marc-Andre Fleury. Thanks for this, Emily. Always appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your show.